sometimes be hard to admit that you're wrong, especially if you have a lot invested in saying that you were right. So John, you know, I want to play you a little clip of somebody admitting that they made a mistake.
Where I was wrong was in my belief that the oil companies had their act together when it came to worst-case scenarios.
So what do you think? Is he saying he was wrong there?
In the sense that I was wrong for being too detached and not sort of on the case here. No, he's sort of saying I was wrong in my faith in the companies that turned out to be wrong.
It's kind of a way of saying they were wrong and I was wrong to believe them. And the question is, why is it so hard to admit that we're wrong?
This is Lucille from Hazlitt, New Jersey. And if there's anything that I hate more than being wrong, it's having to admit that I'm wrong. And I realized just recently that my father used to always say, I'm not right all of the time, just 99% of the time. And I cringe now to think that I'm like him.
And some people weighed in the Facebook page as well. Kate Light said, I can admit that I'm wrong, but I'm so embarrassed that other people tell me that I'm wrong, even if I know it myself, which is an interesting twist on it. Well, somebody who has thought deeply about this entire topic is Catherine Schultz. She's the author of the new book, Being Wrong, Adventures in the Margin of Error. Now Catherine, let's get some stuff out of the way immediately. A, we have a hard time admitting when we're wrong. B, we really like being right. We especially like proving that we're right and someone else is wrong. However, here's the twist that you point out in your book. We also admit that to err is human, that humans are fallible. So where's the divide here?
Absolutely. We have this very paradoxical relationship to being wrong, where, as you point out, on the one hand, we know it's inevitable. We know it's a part of who we are. It's going to happen. We understand that, and we pay lip service to it as a culture in various ways. And yet, as your caller Lucille demonstrated, I think, very admirably, when it comes to our own specific real-life mistakes, we tend to have this real cringe reaction. We find it embarrassing, upsetting, humiliating, and we really, really struggle to face it.
Well, one of the things I find fascinating about your book is you point out that there's no real physiological benefit to being proven right. You know, we don't get this rush of endorphins, necessarily. There's no healthy component of being right, and yet it is pleasurable.
It is really pleasurable, absolutely. And
being right is like cholesterol, is what you're saying?
Well, I think we experience it more as like wine and champagne and sunshine and chocolate. I mean, it just seems like the heavens have opened up and life is so good when we're right. And in some ways, that makes sense when you think about it. Almost from an evolutionary perspective, it is very helpful to be right about the world around us. We need to know that, you know, if there's a rustling in the bushes, it's a lion, it's going to come eat us, we better run away, or whatever. It's useful to have our intuitions about the world be affirmed.
So the people who said, nah, that's not a lion, they died out, I guess.
Right, exactly. If they didn't really want to be right, they might not be here with us today.
I see how that works.
Right, but, you know, obviously there's been a lot of famous people admitting mistake. There was Nixon saying mistakes have been made. We have George W. Bush. Let's play a little bit of George W. Bush talking about weapons of mass destruction.
Not having weapons of mass destruction was a significant disappointment. I don't know if you want to call those mistakes or not, but things didn't go according to plan. Let's put it that way.
So, I mean, in that particular case, there's kind of a good case, maybe, for not saying I was wrong, because then that opens up a can of worms. I mean, maybe this is part of the fear of admitting you're wrong. It's where that leads.
Absolutely. And I think especially for political leaders, you know, as a culture, we have a very powerful message that to make mistakes is, you know, it's something that we associate with weakness, with failure, with incompetence,
immorality.
With immorality, even with ignorance. And those are obviously not qualities that we value in our political leadership. So it can seem like the stakes of admitting error are really, really high. On the other hand, we do all want to see people take responsibility. And sometimes the refusal to admit mistakes can, as I think we've all seen, look really ugly, really stubborn, and really dishonest.
But the fascinating part of your book, once you've established all that we just talked about, is when you go on to talk about the benefits of being wrong, how that being wrong, not just admitting it, but actually the error itself will make you a stronger and better person. What do you mean?
You know, I think that we really overlook all of the ways that wrongness is a really positive force in our lives. And when you think about it, so many of our learning experiences are experiences that stem from error. We have a belief about the world. That belief collapses out from under us. And in the moment, that can be disorienting and painful and confusing. But it's also the engine for how we move forward. Without that, we would not change. We wouldn't grow either as individuals or as a society.
So Catherine Schultz, author of the book Being Wrong, Adventures in the Margin of Error, was it a mistake for you to write this book?
No, but I sure was wrong about how long it was going to take me and how hard it was going to be.
Well, let me ask you something. Does it matter whether it's an issue that you can absolutely establish, the fact that John is wearing a purple shirt, or if it's a matter that's completely up to faith, is something that has to do with religion?
Well, part of what I think is really fascinating is that we treat right and wrong almost identically in those two scenarios, even though, as you point out, they're very, very different. Sometimes there's an objective fact of the matter and we can arrive at it, and sometimes there isn't, but we tend to hold our beliefs as fiercely, if not more so, in cases where we can't arrive at an objective truth as in cases where we can. So we act like right and wrong are still the relevant yardsticks, even when no one's ever going to necessarily have the final word on the subject.
I'm telling you, having twin girls really makes you humble in my life.
I think having any children.
I mean, my kids tell me I'm wrong all the time, and they're right. And you can't argue. Dad, you just really disappointed me there.
Absolutely.
They're right.
I think parenthood.
Good lesson.
Parenthood, yeah. I think, is one of the great, great ways to learn to embrace our fallibility.
Absolutely.
No question
my
about
attempt
it.
To get my son to eat asparagus. Big mistake. Catherine Schultz, author of the new book, Being Wrong, Adventures in the Margin of Error, a fascinating book. Thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
If listeners out there want to finally admit to being wrong on something, let your humility show. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post to thetakeaway.org.
I was so wrong for so seen the light, darling, I'll make it right. I was wrong.
So right, Patsy Cline. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.